Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone doing today? I hope you're doing all right. So let's get into Jesus' genealogy through Mary, as according to Luke. And I know this stuff can be kind of a little on the boring side. But I think I have some really interesting things to point out in the genealogy. So even though I'll kind of really briefly run through it, I'm only going to hesitate and comment on a couple of the areas of interest, that because it's very interesting that typically in Jewish nation, the woman's genealogy was not really of that much importance when it came to the aspects of somebody's standing in the community. And just putting something in place I want to show you. Realize I didn't have it quite ready. Okay, almost there. Okay, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this time that we can take a look in your word and that we can find out some new and interesting things that we can help to understand you better and help us through our daily walk. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. So what we have here, let me bring over the right slide. See up here is a chart. There's two genealogies in the Gospels. One's in Matthew and one's in Luke. And they're different. And some people like to point that out and they wonder why. And it's when you first look at them, when you're reading them, when you read the Matthew account, it's in chapter 1 and verse 2 through 16. He goes from Abraham, because Matthew is very Jewish. So he goes from Abraham, starting at Abraham, and goes all the way to Jesus. And it's one huge difference, okay, from Abraham until David on both Matthew's list and Luke's list are identical. His Abraham through David, second column there, and the Luke side. Now, Luke being a doctor and thinking more along the lines of the actual bloodline of Jesus as a man, goes all the way back to God, and he starts with God and goes all the way back. Now, the one huge difference between the two is Solomon, who ended up being the king of Israel after David. And then Solomon's older brother, Nathan, by the same mother, Bathsheba, he wasn't a king, but he was also part of the bloodline of David. And that's where the change is. There's a good reason for it. And so, and that's what I'm going to point out today. So we'll just kind of leave those up there as we look through some of these verses. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And then he jumps right into the genealogy. But let's stop right here at first, and we're going to talk a little bit about the genealogy and some of the rules pertaining to genealogies and the Jewish and what God allowed. And the interesting thing is that basically Joseph was Jesus' father by adoption. And this was allowed in the case of, in this case, where for reasons I'm going to point out, Joseph, who's the blood goes his genealogy does go back to David, but we know that he's not the father. So because it's like an asset, We know the father of Jesus is actually God. And so that Mary is the only biological person on earth that is part of the bloodline of Jesus, going back through to David and also back to Adam. Because of the role that Jesus is going to play going forward to die for our sins, that he had to have a bloodline clean all the way from Adam all the way through David, because it does state that Jesus will occupy the throne of David. Well, there's two requirements to be to occupy the throne of David according to Jewish law, is that you had to be in the bloodline. You had to be in the legal line. That means that you had to be the son through the male side of the men who were go all the way back to David. Well, that would be Joseph, because you can't go through a woman and become king per se. But by the rules list starting in Moses' day, if the theoretically, Jesus doesn't have an earthly father. So theoretically, he doesn't have the kingship line through God. I know it sounds a little weird, but he doesn't have a male person on the planet except for Joseph. So because Joseph is the only one available and she happens to be the husband of Mary, then Mary is allowed to, and Joseph is allowed to adopt Jesus as his son. And so that's how this works out. And that keeps the male line going back to David clean, because there's a blood curse on Joseph's side. And we'll touch base on that real quick when we get to it. But as a good example of this, if you remember Jacob from Genesis, his son Joseph there, who was the one that saved them in Egypt and took care of them. Well, at the end of Jacob's life, he ended up adopting Joseph's two sons, and they became sons of Jacob. And that's how they can also be included as the 12 tribes of Israel, because they're one of the, they're in the same category as the 12 sons of Jacob. And we see that over in Genesis 48. I'll just pick through that a little bit. Real quick, a part of the story that kind of pertains to this, Genesis 48, 16 through 20. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them. So that's where it says that Jacob is giving his name to his two sons and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, he depressed him and held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head under Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. And he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So Jacob here knew exactly what he was doing. And he blessed them that day, saying, and thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim, as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. So that's the basic adoption ceremony that Jacob did with Joseph's two sons. And it's the same basic idea, is that God's allowing Jesus basically to be adopted by Joseph, to maintain that that kingship ability back to David. We also notice in Matthew 1:16 that going back to the story at hand, we notice that they're very careful about how they talk about Joseph when it has to do with Jesus and Mary. And here in Joseph 1:16 and Mary Matthew, it says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. You know, so he didn't say the father of whom was born Jesus. And normally and typically whenever you listed a man as being the father of a certain person, You would do, say it that way. You wouldn't say it this way. And so Joseph here is identified as being the husband of Mary, which makes it legal for Joseph to adopt Jesus. That's even true today. I did a very similar thing with my children, a couple of my children, is that I was I wasn't biologically theirs, but I was married to the person that was, so that made me eligible to adopt them, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Also in Matthew 13:55, here again, you'll notice that they're very careful about how they say it. Is not this the carpenter's son? So here that they're talking about Jesus, and in this case, they call him the carpenter's son, the carpenter being Joseph. He didn't say the father of Jesus, but they said the carpenter's son. Is not his mother called Mary? So they identified Mary as his mother, and his brother in James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. And also over in Mark, very similar statement. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Jude and Simon? There are all these statements are referring to Jesus. So I wanted to mention, I'm not going to read through it. It's quite lengthy, and I've already got a lot of verses to read through. But in Numbers, this particular rule that I've been talking about is in two places. It's in Numbers 27, 1 through 11. And I'll be in the notes. If you ever need any of my notes, they're online at the website. You can download them if you want some of these verses for yourself. You may not be able to understand at least they're typed, but you won't be able to understand maybe what I was trying to say, but at least you'll have the verses. But the Numbers 27, 1 through 11, and also over in Numbers 36, 1 through 12. I'm only going to read a pertinent part that's in Numbers 36, 5 through 9. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph has said well. This is the thing which the Lord doeth, commanding concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of the father shall they marry. See, to the tribe of the father shall they marry. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel be moved from the tribe to tribe. And if you'll notice that both Joseph and Mary are from the same tribe. They're both from the tribe of Judah. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that proceedeth in inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. So that's how Jesus got the inheritance through Joseph back to David. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep to herself to his own inheritance. So now to talk about why all this is a concern, is it because something happened back in this point where something happened. This man by the name of Coni, some know him as Jeconiah, and Coniah is just spelt without the J-E between the Matthew account and the Jeremiah account, the difference between Hebrew and Greek, basically. So over in Jeremiah 22:28-30, let me just read this. Is this man Coniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and they cast into a land which they know not? This is God talking, by the way. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Write yet this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judea. So this is what they call a blood curse by God, that no man after this guy Cornea was allowed to sit as king. Well, the problem is that Jesus is due to be born within this line. So that's where the problem lies. So basically, because of this curse, if Joseph would have been his biological father, there's no way that he could reign in power and righteousness as a descendant of Joseph. But since Jesus' bloodline is through Mary, not Joseph, he could, and according to the law of Moses that I read in Numbers, Joseph could adopt Jesus and the curse would not affect him and have legal claim to David's throne through Joseph, just like how Joseph's two sons were adopted by Jacob and became part of the inheritance of Jacob in the 12 tribes of Israel. And I already read through that Genesis 48, 16 through 20. And I see I stuck it in here again. I don't need to read it again. So that's the issue there. And I'm going to read through a few of these genealogies just to see, and you'll see the names I'm talking about as we get closer to them. Basically, these are the genealogies starting in verse 24. Which was the son of Matthew, which is the son of Levi, which is the son of Milichai, which was the son of Janna, which is the son of Joseph, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Esai, which was the son of Nagai, which was the son of Maath, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Semei, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of Reza, which was the son of Zorobabel, was the son of Salathiel, which was the son of Neri, which was the son of Melechi, which was the son of Edei, which was the son of Koseim, which was the son of Eleomdem, which was the son of which was the son of Joz, which was the son of Eleazar, which was the son of Jorim, which was the son of Mathad, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Jonan, which was the son of Eliakim, which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Mathatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. Here we get into the interesting part. Which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Nason. Let's stop there for a second, because this is the other area that's kind of really neat, is verse 32. You notice two names there. It might sound a little familiar. It's spelled slightly different on the Matthew account. Again, Matthew was a Jew, so he probably was given the Jewish spelling of most of these names. And Luke, being a Gentile, was doing the more Greek version of the names. So that Boaz here is actually Boaz. And so some interesting things happen here is that women were involved. And they were Gentile women. And I thought I would include this. And so just to show you what I'm talking about, over in Matthew 1:5, and Salmon begat, this is the version in Matthew, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab, which is Rahab. We're going to see it spelled slightly different when we get over to in the Old Testament. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Ruth is from the book of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. So you can see that these two ladies were heavily involved in the as mothers to those in the line of Jesus. And I thought I would just point out a couple of things about them is of interest. Well, sometimes you don't want to necessarily always skip over a genealogy. So going back to Joshua, Really neat story. I won't read the whole thing. The whole thing is really fascinating. But I'll just point out the fact that Rahab was the one that hid those two spies that went in. Joshua had sent in those two spies to spy things out in Jericho. And he sent them in there, and Rahab took care of them and helped them escape without getting noticed, with the promise that if they did attack, and they did, when Joshua came back to attack, that they would actually save Rahab. And we see here Rahab actually is the mother of Boaz's mother. And so if we didn't have Boaz, then Boaz couldn't have married Ruth, and Ruth and Boaz couldn't have had Obed. So you get the general idea. So I'll read through the portion of talking about Rahab. And it's in Joshua 2:1 through 4 I'm going to read. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lives there. Yes, she was a harlot. Fortunately, that industry is still alive and well in America, too. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered in thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And this is where Rahab gets her fame. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wish not whence they were." In other words, she doesn't know where they went. Well, jumping ahead to chapter 6, verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, "Go into harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her." Because they had promised her salvation and all her family for doing that, for helping them. And so now they're getting ready, Joshua and them are getting ready to attack, and Joshua remembers, and he's sending in a special team to make sure they get this woman out before. And that's what we got recorded here in chapter 6, verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive in her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel even until this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So that's how Rahab got into becoming into the Israel, the Jewish nation at that point. And Rahab ended up becoming the wife of the father got married to the father of Boaz, and with that union that Boaz was born out of them. And we also notice over in Hebrew 11:31 makes mentions of this. By faith, the harlot Rahab, so obviously she changed away. She was a great example too of forgiveness. You know, she did wrong and she knew it, and but by faith she didn't perish. Just finish reading here. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And James, the brother of Jesus, also mentioned something. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? So now jumping ahead into Ruth, and see what happened at Ruth. Again, it's basically the whole book. So I'm just going to pick out a few verses that kind of points to what we're talking about today. It's a great short little book. It's only like four chapters. You can read it in under an hour, I think. And it's probably the most beautiful love story. I think if it's the first time you ever read it, you'll probably have a tear or two. But I'll just point to a few verses here in Ruth. First one being chapter 1, verse 4. It's talking about Ruth in general. This proves that she was a Gentile. And even worse than that, she was a Moabite, which was forbidden typically for any Jewish man to marry. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. This is when there was a famine in the land. And it basically, Naomi was a woman that was married, and they went there to survive during the, they were from Bethlehem. And that during that period of time, both Naomi's husband died and her two sons died, which were married to Ruth and Orpha. And so that left the three women alone, no men. And so drew a blank all of a sudden. Basically, Ruth and Oprah and, I just lost her name. Oh, it's right here. Naomi headed back to Bethlehem, and Naomi had told both Orpha and Ruth, you go back to your families, and sorry, but, you know, we don't have any men in our household anymore, so that we're going to have to go back to our kin. And she was sending them back to their kin. But Ruth said that she wanted to become Jewish. And so she basically became a Jewish proselyte, in effect, because she wanted to stay with Naomi. And they went back to Bethlehem. And that's where Ruth met Boaz. And they got married and had a child that ended up being in the same line, going towards I can't remember if it was in Joseph's line or I'm drawing a blank. If it was Joseph, no, it was Mary's line. So reading on in verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. That's where Ruth had basically said that I'm going to become Jewish, and I'll stick it out with you. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death, but part thee and me. So otherwise, she's going to be with her to the death. And jump into verse 22 of chapter 1. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Okay, so that's, and basically, if you read the whole story, come to find out that because, and based on this same rule I just was talking about, Ruth's husband had property in Bethlehem, but because Ruth didn't have any heirs to the property, in other words, both her sons were dead also, that she had ownership of it, but she couldn't take control of it as a woman. She had to be married, and of course, she was much, much older. So that basically Boaz found out about this and really liked Ruth. Well, Ruth was, again, married to one of the sons and heir to this inheritance. And so Boaz was able to get the town fathers to recognize him. And that when him and Ruth got together, they had a child. And they basically gave the child to Naomi to become an heir to the inheritance of Naomi's husband. And that's how that worked. And you'll see that when you read the story of Ruth. Great little story. So we'll just finish off this genealogy, and that'll be it for today. Which was the son of Amminadab, which was the son of Ahiram, which was the son of Esrom, which was the son of Perez, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Therah, which was the son of Nachar, which was the son of Seruch, which was the son of Ragu, sounds like a spaghetti, which was the son of Phalek, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Salah, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Ephaphlex, which was the son of Semei, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, great background on him too, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Melech, which was the son of Kenanan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So there we have the whole list. And that's it for today. So we will leave chapter 3 and move into Jesus as an adult, his ministry starting, and his temptation. So we'll get back into the paintings next week, too. Well, not next week, tomorrow. And so let's end with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for all these little neat little things to dig for and to see in your word, and how you miraculously was able to maintain the genealogy of your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through this this period of a lot of sinfulness and different things that you had to take care of. And we give you all the praise and thanks for all the things you've done for us, because you loved us so much. I just can't imagine. You know, I probably would have given up on mankind a long time ago. Thank you, Lord, so much for your patience. And we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I hope that all have a great day. And if there's anyone out there that's listening that has not gotten to know the Lord Jesus, please stay tuned. There's a short video after this that will explain to you how you too become a child of God, and you too can join us in this wonderful journey to learn about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll give you all the praise. We give Jesus all the praise and thanks. And you all have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.